Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Raw was kind of interesting last night for this reason. Usually when Raw fails, it looks good on paper. You take a look at the matches and you say, this could be good. And then it just fails on all fronts. This particular time, you take a look at the matches and you say, this has no chance of succeeding. This has no chance at all of succeeding. This is, in fact, more like a card you would see at a house show. I've been to plenty of house shows, and this is a very typical house show card where you have one or two top stars, and then the rest is kind of just filler stuff. That's what this felt like last night. In actuality, it was a tiny bit better to watch than it was on paper. Because on paper, this thing looked like a disaster. An absolute disaster. But we start off with the return of the tag team champions, whose excuse for not being around is we went on a little vacation after we won. I mean, really, that's kind of weak. You didn't really have to give any explanation. No one buys it, and that's kind of weak. And I'm having a real problem. I have to be honest, I'm having a real problem with this as a legitimate tag team now, because when they first announced them as a tag team, I said, this could be good. I'm a big AJ Styles fan. AJ Styles has now won every belt, certainly deserves it. But the deal from the very beginning, as far as I knew, was you have in AJ Styles a championship quality, a heavyweight championship quality wrestler, a guy who doesn't lose much. And you have an unknown who is quite obviously so large and so powerful, it's going to be very hard to do any wrestling moves on him. So you're going to have a technician, a bit of a high flyer, a bit of a ground guy in AJ Styles who can do everything well. And then you're going to have a guy who it's going to be very difficult to mount any actual offense against. So I thought that's what they were going to do with this team, is to say this really is a phenomenal team because you have the power and just the overwhelming size of Omos, and you have the technical ability and the high flying and the experience of an AJ Styles. This makes this team virtually unbeatable. Instead, they've went for basically Enzo and Cass, and now AJ Styles is playing the role of Enzo. He gets in the ring, gets two moves in, and gets his ass kicked for 5 minutes. And tries to make the hot tag to Omos, who just comes in and cleans house. Nobody wants to see this. It's not that you can't have a good tag team with these two guys. You could have a very good tag team with these guys. But you can't play it off as though AJ Styles has suddenly become a helpless, less than decent wrestler who can just barely hold his own for a minute or two, but always ends up getting beat up and has to make that desperate tag. It's almost a babyface angle. It's usually the babyfaces who this happens to, where the one guy gets blocked off and he can't tag his partner, and he finally does. And then his partner comes in and cleans house. That's usually the face angle. They're using this every time with AJ. They did the same thing, exact same thing with Enzo and Cass. Enzo would go in, be all right for a minute, start to lose, get his ass kicked, can't make the tag, finally does manage to make the tag, and Cass would come in and finish everybody off. AJ Styles is not Enzo. and using him in that capacity is actually insulting. And I'm sure AJ Styles doesn't care. He's collecting his paycheck and he doesn't care. But using him in that fashion is actually insulting. And I think that it's boring to fans because now we're not even getting the best of AJ Styles. See, if you use this team in the proper way, you could get some great stuff out of AJ Styles, some great wrestling. And then you know you're not going to get great wrestling out of Omos, but you're going to get this big, gigantic guy throwing people around. So you get the best of both worlds. You're not getting great wrestling out of AJ Styles now. His job is to do a move or two and then get beat up and keep having to make a desperate tag. That's every time now. That's silly. He's ceased to be AJ Styles. I mean, if you're looking at this logically, you say to yourself, AJ Styles should be more than a match for either Xavier Woods or Kofi Kingston. It wouldn't have been that long ago that if you put Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston in the ring with AJ Styles, you'd say, well, I mean, this is a warm-up match for AJ Styles to fight somebody tougher. He's going to win. Now, all of a sudden, he can't beat him. Now, all of a sudden, he needs a giant, and he needs to make a desperate tag because he's getting his butt kicked, and this is really not what I want to see from AJ Styles. So I think you're wasting your opportunity with this team. It could be a good team if you let both guys live up to their potential. Now, almost as potential is I don't know what. He's not going to set the world on fire with moves. He is exactly what he is. He's a big dude who's going to get in there and throw people around. After he loses his first match or whatever, he's going to lose some interest. So he's got to be used sparingly. But you can't run down AJ Styles in the process. I think that's a horrible mistake. So while this match, I don't even consider, and again, the New Day, look, they're done without Big E. This is not working for them. They've lost their charm. They've lost their sense of humor. They've lost, it's just not working. It's just not working. And I'm not saying that Big E was the only guy that held this together. It's just that they needed all three. They need all three people. Any two of them alone doesn't seem to work. They need all three people, and they don't have all three people. And now New Day, for the first time in a long time, and I know other people would disagree with me, but for the first time in a long time, for me personally, they're starting to get boring. They're not able to reinvent themselves. They're not able to come up with something that's interesting to me, and they're just getting beat like drums anyway. So I don't know. I think they're misusing both teams a bit here, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the New Day, they need Big E back with them in their little stable as a three-man team again. It was more entertaining with three guys, AJ Styles and Almos. It reminds me of Enzo and Big Cass, too. And it just...
It's exactly what it is. It's Enzo and Big Cass. It's just the same routine they did every time, and you're wasting a lot of talent there in AJ Styles. It's a shame. We then get Charlotte Flair out in the ring with Sonya Deville. And I was always pretty much a supporter of Sonya Deville when it came to her wrestling. I thought she was misused, underutilized. We know she had some MMA background and some martial arts skills and things like that. And I really thought, you know, they could have done more with her, a lot more with her. What they're doing with her now is terrible because they are accentuating the thing she does worst. In other words, what Sonya Deville always did the best, as far as I'm concerned, is get in there and wrestle and make it look somewhat real because she has some legitimate MMA chops and things. Her weakness, well, she wasn't great on the mic. So now what do? You take away her strength and you play to her weakness. And she just ends up with no personality at all. She looks like a cardboard cutout. Then you might as well have Tamina Snuka be the general manager. Same amount of personality. It's not working. She gets in the ring to have Charlotte say, you know, I think I deserve to be added to the women's championship match. And with no real actual reason other than, well, the men are having one. Sonya Deville agrees. Now, I know this is some kind of storyline coming down the road. I don't really care. Because here we go with another three-way dance again. So now we got two three-way dances at Backlash. And both of them include someone who shouldn't be in there. Brings out Rhea Ripley, who once again, I'm trying not to be hard on people. I really am. I'm trying to give people the benefit of the doubt. But Rhea Ripley is terrible on the mic, too. Rhea Ripley looks like she's come out of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Except she can't seem to get it done on the mic. She's just getting there and says, wait a minute, wait. We get it. You don't have to say wait 6,000 times. She doesn't deserve it. She just, whatever. Terrible on the mic. She has no character whatsoever in WWE. None. She feels about as much like the champion as the Dirty Dogs do over in SmackDown. Now out comes Asuka. This is probably the best moment on, one of the two best moments on Raw this week, because Asuka literally throws such a fit in the ring that Charlotte Flair actually laughed. And Charlotte Flair's trying to make it look like, well, I'm laughing because she's so dumb. But no, Charlotte Flair was actually laughing, as in she broke character. When Asuka started doing the baby thing and crying and everything, Charlotte Flair broke character and just started laughing. It was actually pretty funny. Asuka's so over the top sometimes that it is funny. And she says, I can beat her and blah, blah, blah. And then they have a little bit of a brawl. And it's so standard. It's almost like cookie cutter. You don't really need a writer. It's almost like a computer just spits this out and says, this is the formula. Every week it's the same formula. We're not making Kentucky Fried Chicken, man. We're trying to have a professional wrestling show. We don't need the same recipe every week. Not overly interested in this match either. The only thing that interests me a tiny bit about this is that the rumor is, and it's, again, it's just a rumor, but it's a rumor from the inside. It's not a rumor from the outside. Fans didn't start this rumor. A couple of workers did. The Charlotte really is pissed at the WWE. She's not too fond of the fact they let her fiancé husband go, and she's not too fond of the fact she missed WrestleMania with a fake pregnancy diagnosis, and she's a little upset that she's doesn't feel she's being treated fairly for real. So this will be interesting to see if they just kiss her butt and give her back the title. Wouldn't shock me at all, except for the fact that I think she has to take some more time off to do that USA movie. So they probably won't. But other than that, Todd, this is just cookie cutter standard, see it every week type stuff.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about Charlotte Flair not being too happy with the WWE. I remember back then when Bret Hart was not happy with Vince and everything being screwed over, and it was just being a crybaby over it.
Yeah, we'll see where this goes. It's just that I can understand her frustration with not being included in WrestleMania and everything, but at some point in time, we have to understand that things are getting a little dull in the women's division. And if you're going to have the same people just over and over and over and over and over again, it's not going to get any better. Speaking of over and over and over and over again, Morrison comes out. I'm glad to see Morrison wrestle a singles match. I actually like Morrison. So I'm like, okay, Morrison's going to wrestle. This could be interesting. Who's he going to wrestle? Oh, my God, Damian Priest. I have nothing against Damian Priest, except is he ever going to wrestle anyone else ever? How long has he been in this federation? And as God is my witness, I don't remember him wrestling anybody except The Miz or Morrison or The Miz and Morrison or The Miz and Morrison and someone else. Or how long is this feud going to continue? Especially since it should be over. He's beaten them both I don't know how many times. Yeah, I know that he lost a 2-on-1 match. But my God, this is every single week now. And it looks like it's going to get worse because after he beats Morrison, it was kind of because The Miz had interfered and possibly cost Morrison the match. And him and Damian Priest kind of stared at each other. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to fight again. They're going to have Miz facing Damian Priest maybe at Backlash. How many times is he going to fight him? Damian Priest is just stuck in this endless, it's Groundhog's Day. Fight The Miz, fight Morrison, fight The Miz, fight Morrison, fight The Miz. My God. Let's move on. If he's ever going to get his career going, he's going to have to move on. And let's be brutally honest. I'm a big Morrison fan. I think he deserves better, but the way you're booking Morrison, beating him is no big deal. Beating him does not make you a top contender for any belt. Beating you is just, okay, you're in the lower mid-card still. So that's exactly where Damian Priest is. He's just barely squeaking by lower mid-card guy. As a matter of fact, they're booking the matches that, well, he almost really didn't win. If The Miz hadn't have distracted the referee, it looked like Morrison might have got the three count. That's not a way you book a guy you got a big future for. So I'm worried. I don't know what they're going to do with Damian Priest. I guess they're just going to have him fight The Miz and Morrison constantly, Todd. But, I mean, how much longer can they do this?
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Damian Priest wrestling guys over and over again. The last time we seen him wrestle different people was in NXT. NXT, you saw him wrestle different people. When he came up,
I don't think he's been anybody different since he's come here. It's been The Miz and Morrison and the combination of the two. I think he wrestled somebody else. I don't remember who, but I mean, God, it's been going on too long. He's only been here, what's he been here, like 2 or 3 months? And it's just been constantly The Miz and Morrison. Enough already. Then the Lucha House Party go against Alexander and Benjamin, and they actually win. And I'm just about to throw a fit. I really am. I'm just about to say, well, that tears it. You want to talk about destroying a team. Not only do you take them away from the Hurt Business, but now they're absolutely just jabrones. But then they pulled the little angle where it looks like Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander are finally going to have that trouble that they teased for so long. Benjamin on the outside of the ring when Alexander told him he were always the weak link of this team, and that's why Bobby Lashley didn't want us and blah, blah, blah. And it looks like they're going to do something with this. Now, it's probably going to be a one-off. That wouldn't surprise me at all. It's a one-off and we never see the person who loses again because that's typical WWE. I hope not, because both of these guys deserve better. They really do. But at least, okay, if you're going to break them up and start a feud, I guess they have to lose. And you might as well give the Lucha House Party the benefit of the win. So I'm not bitching about that anymore. I just hope, Todd, that they use them for something so that this loss means something.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said, where these losses are mean. You got to make them mean something with what somebody loses or wins. It's got to be part of their career.
Of course. And so they're going to have to do something with it. Now, I was really happy to see Angel Garza is actually being used. He's backstage, and Drew Gulick says, I see you got the rose. And it's funny, you're a ladies' man, but you can never score. And he kind of aggravates Angel Garza until he's basically Angel Garza tells him, I'm going to have the match with you, and then I'm going to stick the rose up your ass. They have the match, which is too short. They could have put on a really, really, really good match, these two. I actually looked forward to this because I said, this actually will be good. Unfortunately, it wasn't that good because they cut it too short. It was just, you know, way too short. And then Angel Garza literally puts the rose down the back of Gulak's trunks, runs and kicks it, effectively shoving it up his ass. And I say to myself, I don't know whether I like it or not. It's pretty goofy, but at the end of the day, it's Garza kind of saying, you know, you never know what I'll do. I'm glad they're using Garza. That's all I can say. I hope they use him for more. Apparently, he's going to be a face. Because he certainly didn't appear to be a heel during that confrontation with Gulak, so I guess they're going to use him as a face. Interesting. It's an interesting choice since he's hanging around Nia Jax and all this stuff. I don't know where this is going or if it's going anywhere. But it was nice to at least see Garza again and recall that he's very, very good in the ring. And if you give him something to do, except throw roses down people's trunks, which I would say this better be a one-off. You better not be doing this to everybody. But if this is a one-off and just him being a smart-ass, okay. I'm okay with it. Todd, I mean, that wasn't too bad. It's, again, I'm happy to see Garza at least, and I'm happy to see they're using Gulak.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. It's pretty cool that they're using Gulak and Garza this week. And like you said, I hope they do more of this, something like this. Use the undercard more often on their shows.
Me too. See, again, they used the undercard a few times on this show, a couple times, and I thought, that's okay. I don't mind that. I don't really mind that. But at least let's further it. Let's say that there's a reason we're doing this. So I expect to see Angel Garza next week, and I expect that we're going to start to get a more continuum of his storyline. If not, and you just don't see him again for a month, this is bullshit. And typical WWE. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I was glad to see Garza, but I have no confidence they're going to have any storylines for him going forward.
Yeah, I've got no confidence either, but I'm happy to see him. And, I mean, that's I don't want to say logical, but that's somewhat of an extension of what he was doing before. That was him, like you said, being a smart ass, stuffing that rose down
right.
The guy's trunks. You know, when he what he usually does is, you know, he'll find some woman, yeah, Charlie Caruso, whoever it is, and give her the rose, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening with him. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully it leads to a storyline. Even if it leads to another match with Gulak, I'm okay, because they could have good matches, those two. No question in my mind, they have really good matches if they are given 10, 12 minutes to do so. Now something happens that really makes me almost my head almost explode. We get a segment introducing the return of Eva Marie. And I say to myself, I just don't understand this company. I guess I just don't understand this company. You let Chelsea Green go. You let the Iconics go. You let Mickie James go. And you're hiring Eva Marie back. All you have to do is have Eva Marie feud with Lana, and you're going to have the worst feud in the history of women's wrestling. I don't understand this. If you got the money to go ahead and hire Eva Marie, why the hell didn't you keep at least Chelsea Green or Mickie James? What do you think Eva Marie's going to do for you? She was an embarrassment as a wrestler last time she was here. An embarrassment. Now, I don't know. Maybe she's gotten better. It's been years. So maybe she's been training all those years. So now she can do two moves successfully. But I'm telling you that the last time she was here, it was awful. Absolutely awful. And what kind of message are you sending about your women's division? Chelsea Green, gone. The Iconics, gone. Mickie James, gone. Eva Marie, welcome to the WWE. You've got to be kidding me. Mike, this one really shocked me, and to a certain extent it upset me, because the message just seems to be totally asked backwards here.
Right, and furthermore, you're not building on the improving of Lana. I mean, as I remember it, right now Lana is probably going to be a better wrestler than Eva Marie. She's been in the ring. Yeah, I mean, and she's a and to tell you the truth, she's better on the mic as well, to tell you the truth, you know. So all told, she's better. So why are you bringing Eva Marie back? Just to look like they're trying to do exactly what they did before.
It really does. I mean, it seems to send a signal to me like we're going backwards, not forwards. I don't know. Maybe she'll get in there and be better, but, man, I'll tell you, I don't see it. And I'll tell you why I don't see it. I used to train people, and I can tell you right now, I knew people who I said after a short period of time, they're never going to be able to do it. It doesn't matter if they trained for 25 years. They're never going to be able to do it because they just cognitively don't get it. It's not that they're not physically capable. They just can't, it doesn't click with them. There's something about this that just doesn't click with them. They can't string it together. And those are the people you just sound, you just can't wrestle. Because you're just not getting it. Well, that's what Eva Marie impressed me as. Eva Marie impressed me as someone who you just said, it's not that she's not athletic. It's not that she's physically incapable. She just doesn't seem to get it. But here she is back again. So, I guess we're going to get more Eva Marie. For the life of me, I don't understand this one, Todd. It seems to me it's just, I don't know, crazy.
You're absolutely right there. Last time we seen these vignettes were Eva Marie, they get the dude to do a tease, but it don't happen. She's just like, oh, I'm not doing this. I'll back out now. I'm not coming back on TV. Like last time.
Yeah. We'll see her. I don't know. Anyway, backstage, we got a thing with Elias and Jackson Riker, who are going to throw some tomatoes at who they think, I guess, is going to be Damian Priest and the New Day, but it turns out to be Randy Orton. Randy Orton's pissed, and in the hallway he talks to Riddle. I'll tell you this much. Riddle is a very, very annoying personality and a guy I don't really care for. But with Randy Orton, I can deal with him. I can deal with him a little better because Randy Orton almost takes the place of the person that has to listen to him and tells him, just shut up, be serious, none of this crapola. And they do have a little bit of chemistry. So I can live with it. If this is the way they're going to push Riddle, I can live with this. I can live with this. Now, Elias and Jackson Riker, they're going nowhere fast. Now that they're a tag team, they just get beat on a regular basis. They're the low end of the spectrum tag team. It's a shame because I still say you missed the boat with Elias. He had the whole audience singing along with him. He had the whole audience going along with him. He was going like gangbusters. And what ends up happening, you ruin him. So that's a shame to see, but I can live with Randy Orton and Matt Riddle a little more than I can Matt Riddle by himself. Now here's another thing that makes your head spin. We go backstage and Mansoor is there. Please explain to me what Mansoor has done to merit being on Raw, on Monday Night Raw. You're letting people go left and right, but Mansoor is your new Monday Night Raw star who has a zero personality. Zero personality. Now, thank you for signing my contract, and I'm happy to be on Raw. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Thanks for playing. You have no personality. Here's a newsflash. As politically incorrect as it may be, the reason you're signed and the reason you're up here is because you're from Saudi Arabia. They would have looked at you twice otherwise. Okay? They needed a hometown hero to go down there in Saudi Arabia, and they want to keep that audience, and so they're saying, oh, we'll just bring that guy up. He fits the description. No personality. I mean, decent in the ring, decent, but no personality, and not no better than a ton of other people who deserve to come up to Raw a lot more than he does. And he gets on to Sheamus a little bit, and Sheamus gets on to him, and Sheamus says, well, I'm going to give you a match, not for the title, but I'm going to give you a match. Somewhere in the match, Sheamus gets busted open by him. I don't know where. Sheamus is bleeding from his head. Oh, I did want to say this before we end the thing about Elias. Matt Riddle landed directly on Elias's head with his finisher. Directly on his head. You've seen Elias instantly grab his head, and then as he's pinned, he lets go of his head for a minute, and then instantly grabs it again and rolls out of the ring. I would not be surprised if he suffered some kind of a minor injury or possibly even a concussion, because that's a lot of weight, 215 pounds or so. That's a lot of weight to come down on somebody's head from the top rope, and he landed directly on his head. No part of him got his shoulders or chest. He literally landed on his head. Not good. Anyway, Mansoor is just about to bite the dust, which doesn't say much about his debut. I mean, if you're going to debut him, and I disagree with you debuting him because I don't think he's earned it, but if you're going to make a big deal out of his debut, how do you make him look like he was just going to get hosed by Sheamus? And in the ring comes Humberto Carrillo, who had gotten beat up earlier and causes a disqualification. And there was a little part of me that said, man, please, Mansoor, attack Carrillo and say, you ruined my debut by jumping in when I wasn't beaten yet. That would have been cool. And I would have been all right with a Mansoor-Carrillo match. I would have been like, okay, that sounds all right. That could be good. No, instead, Sheamus basically brogue kicks both of them. Both of them. Leaves them lying there. I'm like, okay, well, it's so much for your big debuts and stuff, and so much for Carrillo. Carrillo's just a punching bag. I don't know what they got planned for him, if he's actually going to win this thing from Sheamus or not, but he ain't looking too good now. And I just think, you know, if you're going to debut Mansoor, Todd, this is probably not the best way to do it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I would not debut him as a face, technically. I would have him debut like a heel. Like a heelish type. Like, go out there.
They beat him the way he was, and then he attacked Carrillo. And his motivation was, this was my debut match on Raw. You interfered with it. You had no reason to interfere with it. He hadn't beaten me yet. How do you know I wasn't going to move from the brogue kick? It was just all about you, and you're selfish, and that would have been cool. And I'd have said, oh, wow, okay, we might get a good series of matches between these two. It's an undercard match, but it's still a good match. I don't really know who's going to win, so that's a good thing. But no. Now, I did want to say this, because a lot of people didn't notice. When, I'm trying to think of the exact ones, Randy Orton, I believe it was Randy Orton and Riddle, and it definitely was Sonya Deville and Charlotte. When they were backstage talking, Lily, the doll, was in the background. You could clearly see Lily the doll. Now, this was an old Bray Wyatt thing. Well, they used to do that with the puppets and things. So, basically, they have stole Bray Wyatt's character, and they've handed it completely to Alexa Bliss. That's what they've done. And I guess I don't know where Bray Wyatt is. I don't know where he is. But it doesn't matter, because the female version is here, and they're doing the exact same thing. It is literally just a female Bray Wyatt. That is what this is. And it's really weird. Really weird. And I'm sorry to say this, but without Bray Wyatt, she's not doing as good a job. I mean, she's trying, but she's not pulling it off as well. With the whole nonsense of Wyatt around and the fun house and the weird stuff, it kind of worked, where she didn't have to say a whole lot, but she had to say some. Now that she's got to carry off the whole segment, I'm seeing a lot more of her just being Alexa Bliss and then being like, oops, I got to be dark again. And I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know. We'll see where this goes. I'm not 100% sure it's going to work, and apparently Bray Wyatt's just gone. I don't know where the hell he's gone to, but apparently he's gone. We then see Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax against Lana and Naomi again. Again. This is like Groundhog's Day. Is there anyone else in the world they can fight? Because this is getting really, 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 really old. Nope, apparently there isn't. Lana looks okay in this match. She's definitely getting better. But here's a newsflash. If you're trying to show that Lana is getting better, how about once she isn't the one who gets pinned? How about just once she isn't the one who loses the match? I mean, I know Naomi is better and all, but at some point, if you're trying to promote Lana as getting better, then I'm sorry to tell you, she can't lose every time. She's losing every single time. It's not working. It's so repetitive, Mike, that after a while, it's like you're living in Groundhog's Day.
Right. I mean, look, I understand they don't want her. They really divorced her from Rusev, all right? They took away the they took away the Machka kick from her, and they took away, you know, the camel clutch and whatever from her, and they want to divorce her from her husband, right? Career-wise, in other words. So, but they really shouldn't have done that because those are two moves that she can really do well, you know? And to tell you the truth, she is getting better, but you can't be having her counting the ring lights to prove that. How is she going to prove that she's getting better by counting the ring lights?
Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's what I'm saying. And we get Charlotte and Dana Brooke. Oh my God! Again, is anybody biting their nails? Here's what I want to ask our audience: was anybody biting their nails, saying AJ Styles and Omos is they might lose the belt? Was anybody biting their nails thinking that? No. Charlotte Flair against Dana Brooke. Was anybody saying, oh my God, Charlotte's going to lose? No. Damian Priest versus Morrison. Was anybody saying, oh my God, Morrison's going to beat Damian Priest? No. RK-Bro, could they possibly, you know, lose against Elias and Riker? No. None of these matches left anybody in any suspense. We all knew who's going to win every match with the possible exception of the Lucha I want to say the Hurt Business, but it's not the Hurt Business anymore. Lucha House Party against Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. I wasn't sure that who was going to win that because I thought, well, maybe they're going to try to build Benjamin and Alexander back up. Aside from that, there wasn't a match on this card, not one single match on this card, that anybody was in 2 seconds of suspense over who was going to win. Not 2 seconds. And that's the problem with Monday Night Raw. If you can't successfully put together some matches that people say, well, I'm not really sure where this is going to go. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be every match. You can have a couple of squash matches to build people up, absolutely. But you got to have a few matches where the outcome is somewhat in doubt. Every match this week, the outcome was not really in doubt. You Bobby Lashley against Braun Strowman. I guess we all knew where this was going. I mean, come on. It's just pathetic. And as far as the Sonya Deville thing, because I know a lot of people said, you know, where do you think this is going? Well, it's pretty obvious. She's going to be the heel, general manager, and I guess he's going to be the face general manager. Regardless of where it goes, it's not going in a good direction. And the reason it's not going in a good direction is Sonya Deville's strength, once again, her strength is her in-ring ability. She's a good athlete. She's a legit athlete with credibility with her martial arts and MMA fighting. Her downside was she never was very good on the mic. So brilliant WWE says, let's take away her positives and not put her in the ring anymore. And let's accentuate her negatives by giving her the mic every week, where she does exactly nothing or a horrible job. And that's exactly what she does, a horrible job. Not that Pierce is any better with his mouth hanging open constantly. If everybody noticed that, by the way, right? I think I'm the first person to point that out. Somebody needs to tell him, your mouth doesn't have to hang open constantly. That's his one facial expression is, duh. I don't get the guy. They're both just annoying. Couldn't care less about either one of them. Both of them are terrible on-screen characters. Boring as hell. Boring as hell. So we got a real problem with Monday Night Raw. If there is a bright side to this, it's I think the WWE recognizes it. I think this week the WWE said, wow, we got a problem. And we're going to have to try to correct it. So let's throw some things out there. Let's see. Let's put Gulick out there. Let's put Angel Garza out there. Let's put the Lucha Party out there. Let's throw some, you know, people we haven't thrown in for a while and see if that'll stir things up. Because obviously the people we have aren't stirring things up. Well, no, they're not. They're not stirring things up. And here's the reason why. You've taken one of your best wrestlers, AJ Styles, and you've given him the tag team championship, which is fine because that makes him, you know, one of these guys who's had all the belts, and he deserves that. But you've lessened him to the point where he's Enzo. Again, he's Enzo to almost as Cass. He just gets his ass kicked, and he can't make the tag, and he can't make the tag, and then, oh, he does make the tag, and almost comes in and cleans house. That's not AJ Styles. AJ Styles is a championship-quality wrestler. You're wasting all of his talent, all of it. AJ Styles should be, you know, this should be a very short-lived tag team. Very short-lived tag team. You did what you wanted to do. You got AJ the belt. Get it off of him. Get it off of him and have him go on to face people like Lashley, Drew McIntyre, top-level guys, Sheamus. I'd be interested in a Sheamus-AJ Styles match for the belt. This nonsense of him just getting beaten up and trying to make a tag to Almos, who knows two moves, is really undermining him. Then you're undermining Sonya Deville by her not letting her in the ring. I guess I don't know what the hell happened to Bray Wyatt. He must have fell off a cliff. If you're going to get Alexa Bliss in the women's division, get her in now, because these promos are starting to get weaker and weaker by the week. And it's quite obvious at this point you've stolen Bray Wyatt's entire gimmick and handed it on a silver platter to Alexa Bliss and said, here, you're the new Fiend, to the point where the Lily doll is showing up in the background during segments backstage. If you look backstage, you'll see that Lily doll popping up. It's somewhere just within the camera shot. That's what they used to do with Bray Wyatt. They just substituted her for Bray Wyatt. Sheamus, okay, he's a good champion, but what do you got going here? I'm okay with the Humberto Carrillo thing if that's what you want to do, but then at some point you've got to have Carrillo do something other than just get his ass kicked, because that's what happened to him every single week. So you're making him look like, yeah, he's a tough kid who won't stay down, but he's no match for Sheamus. You've introduced Mansoor, which I think is a mistake because he has no personality and he's not ready. But if you're going to introduce him, Jesus Christ, could you introduce him with a win so we could get to see what he's going to do instead of just getting his ass kicked by Sheamus? Angel Garza, okay, I'm glad you're using him, but could you have picked a little bit better way to start a feud than Gulick just saying, oh, you can't score? Giving roses away, but you can't score. What? Could we have something worse happen? Could we have something happen that really makes us want to root for Garza, if that's what you want to make him, a face? You've forgotten how to write stories, so people just don't care. And you're wasting talent. What they're doing, Mike, is they're taking some of their top guys and wasting them in angles that they don't belong in and trying to push people who don't have the talent to get there.
Right. Right. Think about it this way. We talk about what's going to happen. What would happen if at some point AEW and Raw actually get the same ratings, right? And the way it's looking, like last time, what was it, 1.9 to 1.1, but they keep having shows like this, you know, and it's going to be a slow bleed with it. And it's not just the wrestlers, you know, it's mostly them, the poor writing. I mean, you look at AEW, there are several storylines. You watch that show, there are several storylines that you want to see. The whole thing with the Pinnacle and Jericho's group. You want to see that storyline, and you want to see the ending to that storyline. There are other things in AEW that are on a back burner right now that haven't been drawn, you know, a thing to, you know, a conclusion to, like the whole thing with Cody and MJF. They haven't done anything with it, but it's still on the back burner, I would think. And because right now the Nightmare Family and their factory are going at it. I know we don't think too much of the whole faction deal, but at least with AEW, but at least there are storylines there that you want to follow, whereas in
I had a discussion with a fan the other day about this. We talked about AEW and if they would ever get to the stage of Raw. And I said, no, they will not get to the stage of Raw because they keep shooting themselves in the foot by deciding that they are going to play politics. And it turns off half the fan base. So every single time they do something stupid and they tweet something stupid, or they let their wrestlers tweet something stupid, or get on somebody because they support the wrong candidate, half the audience says, I ain't watching them no more. That's a huge mistake. Wrestling's supposed to be for everybody. See, if I was Tony Khan, I would set people down and say, the very first time one of you people, I don't care who you support as a candidate, I don't care whether you're left or right, I don't care whether you believe in one thing or the other, the very first time you isolate half our fan base by tweeting out stupid things, you're done. You can go look for work somewhere else. We're not doing this. We're wrestling for everybody. Because every time you do that, you lose fans like me. And I'm not the only one. There are people who are like that. Screw them. They want to come off with this kind of attitude that anybody who doesn't believe what we believe socially must be a racist. Okay, well then, I guess you don't want me to watch you. This is the problem. I'm not going to be insulted by a company and continue to watch them. So this is why you see AEW do 1.1 million and then 800,000. And then 950,000 and then 750,000. Because each week, their fans are like, maybe I'll give them another try. No, they did something stupid again. And I got a newsflash. The fans that are keeping that basic 800,000 alive, again, they're not hardcore wrestling fans, I'm telling you. They're going to fly eventually. So AEW's got to be very careful. Now, as far as WWE, they're lucky they can hold on to the fans they have. We did a whole show on why a lot of these fans won't leave. And I don't think you'll ever see a time when WWE does under a million. But I got news. They deserve to do under a million. Because they're not putting out a quality product. It would be so easy to say, look, we're going to use Angel Garza. So we're going to have a situation by which, you know, in a couple of weeks, Garza's going to give a rose to a girl. And one of these guys, whether it's Drew Gulick or it's somebody else we haven't used in a while, is going to sort of want to be interested in that girl. And he's going to say, did that idiot give you a rose or whatever? And she can say, I'm not interested in you. I've told you a million times, leave me alone. And then if he attacks Garza, okay, then Garza's a face, right? He's sticking up for a girl who is interested in him over a stalker who she's clearly told to hit the road. No, instead it has to be some stupid thing that nobody cares about. Nobody cares about it. The Mansoor thing, how easy would it have been for, instead of Sheamus kicking the head off both Mansoor and Humberto Carrillo, how easy would it have been for Mansoor to get up and kick the head off Carrillo and then grab the mic and say, this was my Raw debut and you ruined it because you're selfish. And then we would have said, ooh, okay, well, we're not going to see Sheamus versus Humberto Carrillo. Sheamus is obviously superior to Humberto Carrillo, but I don't know if Mansoor is. And we're going to see a couple of matches here between these two, and it might be good. I'd be into that. It's an undercard match, but I'd be into it because there's a story there. And, of course, Carrillo could have said, I wasn't trying to undermine his match. I was getting revenge on what happened to me backstage, and Mansoor wasn't winning that match anyway. And then you could go back and forth a little bit. You have a story. We need stories, Mike, because just these matches with, oh, Damian Priest is going to come out and fight Morrison again. We don't need to see this week after week after week.
Absolutely. And think about it also this way. There's something you could have added to that storyline. You know, we know who Carrillo's brother is. If you want to keep Carrillo a face, you could have had, you know, you could have turned what's-his-name heel and then had his cousin come out and rescue Carrillo, you know, as Mansoor and Sheamus are beating the hell out of him, you know.
Yeah, there's plenty you could have done. I mean, just give us a story. You tried to give us a story at least with the former Hurt Business. I get that. With Sheldon Benjamin saying, I got a newsflash. It was me who handpicked Cedric Alexander. Nobody wanted him. I had to convince them to let him in. That's a good story. We'll see where it goes. There is no other good story. There is no other good story. The best part of Raw, this whole entire week, which is pretty damn sad, is Charlotte Flair unable to stay in character when Asuka went nuts in the ring and started doing the boo-hoo-hoo, you're a sissy, you're a crybaby. And Charlotte Flair tried very hard to cover it up by making it look like I'm laughing at her, but I'm laughing at her as Charlotte Flair. But she wasn't. She totally lost it. Go back and watch it again, and you'll see she tried to stay straight-faced, and when she realized I can't stay straight-faced, then she tried to pull it off as I'm laughing in character. It was pretty funny because Asuka really did wig out there for a minute. But, Mike, that should never be the best part of Raw.
Right, that should never have been the best part of Raw. But, again, hey, you can take it where you can get it if you're the WWE. And, look, you know, you've got a good thing going. You don't want to – we kind of get on them for kind of kissing Charlotte Flair's ass. But, basically, Charlotte Flair kind of saved that thing by selling it the way she sold it. And really,
yeah,
if you think about it, you know, we've said it before, they can ill afford to get on her bad side, Charlotte's bad side, and lose her. They can ill afford it.
No, who are they going to replace her with? Eva Marie? I mean, this is the problem. This is the signal that the WWE is sending to its fans. We're getting rid of Chelsea Green, who, whatever you want to say about her, don't tell me she can't cut it, because I watched her be Laurel Van Ness and she was fine. We're getting rid of the Iconics, who, whatever you want to say about them, don't tell me they're not entertaining. I've watched them be very entertaining. We're getting rid of Mickie James, who's getting a little older. Don't tell me she still can't go in the ring. I've watched her. And we're going to replace her, have no fear. We're going to replace her with Eva Marie, who couldn't successfully put two moves together a few years ago and had the personality of a radish. Okay? No personality whatsoever other than I'm a hot girl. That's your personality, and that's what her gimmick is. I'm a hot girl. Well, that's going to fly for about 5 minutes. And then what are you going to do with her? So it's not like, for instance, AEW is on the verge of signing Tessa Blanchard. Ivelisse is appearing in an SWE. And what's the WWE's big announcement? Eva Marie's back. Ouch. You lost that one, WWE. You lost that one. By a huge margin, you lost that one. It's just a shit. I don't get it. I mean, if their announcement had been, we signed Ivelisse or something, I would have been like, okay, well, all right, you did out with the old in with the new, but you got somebody good that was new. No, you're bringing in, I'm telling you right now, Eva Marie's not going to be able to cut it. She's probably gotten better, because I don't think the WWE would ever taken her back if she hadn't gotten better. But even her 50% better is still going to be lousy, because she was one of the worst I've ever seen. She was someone that I once said she's untrainable. She's just someone who's never going to get it. She could be in the business 100 years. She doesn't get it. It's not that she's not physically able to do it. She don't get it. And you can't teach people like that. So I don't know why she's back. But that's the message the WWE is sending. There's our big signing. We know you're all upset we got rid of all these women, but don't worry. Eva Marie's coming back. Oh, great. The savior of the women's division is coming back. Thought this wasn't about looks. It was about talent. Anyway, my big takeaway is Elias okay? Because I'm telling you, go back and watch that, and Matt Riddle landed directly on Elias's head. Directly on his head. I haven't heard that Elias is injured, but I'm going to dig in after this show and see if I can find anything, because he didn't look good. He instantly grabbed his head, pulled his hands away for just a second while he got pinned, and then went right back to holding his head. So my assumption is he hurt himself. Well, he didn't hurt himself. Riddle hurt him. If Riddle hurt him, it's not good for Riddle. So anyway, even making Alexa Bliss starting to get boring is really bothering me now. There wasn't too much on this show to recommend. I'm glad they used Angel Garza. I'm glad they used Drew Gulick. I'm glad they used the Lucha Underground. I'm glad they're giving Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin a storyline. And I'm glad they're using Humberto Carrillo a little bit. They're starting to use their undercard. For that reason, I'm going to give it a C-, which is really generous. Really generous. Because they were just one from getting a D or a D-, Mike. What's your rating?
I've got to give it a C- as well. I mean, look, you got some good things. You got actually Charlotte. That Charlotte segment with Oscar was a good segment, of course. And I did, you know, the whole thing, we knew how that thing was going to end up with both of those other two guys taking a claymore. Probably next week what we're going to see is the other two guys taking either the power slam or the spear or whatever, you know. You know that's coming, right? So that's how they're going to – That's the MO on how to promote these type of three-way matches, right? They want to make them all look strong.
They don't show up with Sheamus versus Carrillo versus Mansoor as a three-way, because that could happen.
Yep.
At the pay-per-view, I mean.
Yep.
I hope that don't happen. I hope we don't get three-ways at the pay-per-view. Todd, what is your rating this week?
I gotta go with you guys a C minus.
You know, I don't know what to say. Raw's on a really bad track, man. It's on. They're throwing everything they possibly can to see what sticks, but you know, you can't blame Angel Garza if the ratings don't go up because you gave him a lousy feud. You can't blame the Lucha Underground if it don't go up because you gave him a lousy feud. You can't blame a lot of these wrestlers if it doesn't go up. You're not giving us quality, compelling storylines. If you did, we'd tune in to see them. They have all the talent in the world. It's you guys who are dropping the ball. We'll see you Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.